This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and month, and you can see a list of the guests that we've had on the program from last year, last week, this week, and next week, together with the links to their websites. For questions or comments during the program, please email spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com. RBN is currently conducting a pledge drive to raise at least $100,000 within the next 6 months in order to upgrade computer equipment for staff, producers, and engineers. This new equipment will ensure a more professional, quality broadcast, although the broadcasts, as far as I'm concerned, are tip-top quality as they stand. But we plan on growing. RBN wants to grow. They want to hire new employees, and they also want to safeguard the stability of current employees. They also plan to expand into more markets and to continue broadcasting on KHFX 1140 AM in Dallas. So that's a lot of things, a lot of objectives, but we do need to get the word out. And in order to maintain our current programming and to expand, we do need your help. So I hope that you will consider making a donation to RBN. You can also support RBN by purchasing individual broadcasts that you can play on CD players and MP3 players. You may also copy these broadcasts to share with friends and others. You can subscribe to the archives by going to republicbroadcasting.org. The subscriptions are only $1.33 per month, but you can subscribe at a higher rate. You can also buy and distribute RBN business cards and bumper stickers. My guest today is Richard Edmondson. That's E-D-M-O-N-D-S-O-N. And his website is leftwing-christian.net. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hi, Deanna.
You're good?
Yes, I'm doing very well. How are you today?
Good, very good. Now, I've looked over your website and looked at some of the references that links from your website and found an interesting one. It is to the temple, an article. It says the third temple in Jerusalem plans to be rebuilt, and it shows the miniature temple site, which I've seen, and you also mention, or this article also mentions, the Temple Institute, and on that, in that article, there is a video, short video. It's about 6 minutes, wherein there are two people, one of which is Haim Richman, who wrote a book called The Holy Temple of Jerusalem, which I happened to purchase when I was in Jerusalem in 1999.
Hmm.
And so...
Okay.
It's kind of interesting that
yeah.
That I would have this book and that you would make a reference to it.
Right. Yeah, well, he's the rabbi that seems to be sort of leading the drive to bring about the restoration of the temple. And the kind of the point of the article was that, you know, if the temple is rebuilt, then that'll bring about a resumption of animal sacrifice. And there was, you know, of course, a long history of that up until the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. And, you know, currently there are plans to, you know, the only thing that's holding it back, really, at this point, is the mosque on the Dome of the Rock.
Right. All righty, we do have to go to a 3-minute break. We will be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
And our guest today is Richard Edmondson. His website is leftwing-christian.net. He is a novelist, a poet, a journalist, a peace activist, and a regular contributor at Uprooted Palestinians. He is the author of The Memoirs of St. John, No Greater Love. It's a novel about the life of Christ as told from the perspective of John, the son of Zebedee, the youngest of the 12 disciples. All righty. We were talking about the Temple Institute, which I did visit when I was there. And in fact, I asked, well, what do you plan on doing at the temple when it's restored, when it's rebuilt? And the gentleman there said, we don't know yet. We haven't been told.
They don't know yet. They haven't been told. Okay. Well, of course, the video, you know, shows the Rabbi Rickman and his friend, I forget the other rabbi's name, they're both sitting there with the gold crown that they've had reconstructed, and they talk about all this other stuff that they've reconstructed, and apparently, you know, they're just waiting for the moment when they can jump in there and do whatever to the mosque and rebuild the temple.
Right. I did see a lot of artifacts that they had already acquired or had built or something. But so either this person that was leading the discussion didn't know or just simply didn't want to tell us because, well, for whatever reason. But it is interesting that when we visited the mosque, it was very, very heavily guarded with metal detectors and all kinds of things.
Sure.
We weren't allowed to take in our purses or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm certain that they're simply protecting the facility.
Did you go into the mosque
yes.
and worship?
I went in, yes.
Yes, okay, all right. That's something I've always kind of wanted to do myself. It's sort of like go into a mosque and just experience.
Well, it was, it's been some years, and I did take pictures, and I actually took slides. I have a lot of slides, which I just translated or had transferred to a disc.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically, when they say the Dome of the Rock, there is actually a rock inside that you can look at. I felt like it was a very special place.
Yeah.
And I do understand that there are a lot of crazy people out there who would like to just go in and blow it up, which is absurd to me.
Well, there are, there's been some that have been arrested trying by the Israeli government. And, you know, there's also these stories about archaeological diggings going on underneath the Dome of the Rock, or at least underneath the Western Wall at any rate.
Right.
That are supposedly making the grounds, unsettled and insecure. And there's concern that there may be a collapse at some point. You
yes.
went down there?
Yes.
Underground, under where they're digging under there?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, they have a little quarter under there. And, we went all over. In fact, we even got permission to go out to the Jordan River, where, the real Jordan River, where the baptism took place,
mm-hmm.
not the place that they currently use for Christian baptisms, but it was nothing more than a trickle. It was a stream. It was dirty. It was green. It was awful, and that is because they have the government has blocked off the flow of the water, and of course the Israeli government has also taken, sequestered the Sea of Galilee for themselves. And so when I was there, there was quite a drastic water situation going on.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's a severe problem for the Palestinian, the local Palestinian farmers and everything can't get water for their crops and so forth.
Exactly.
And it's all going into the swimming pools of Israeli settlers.
Right. It's very interesting.
Or perhaps I shouldn't say all of it, but a lot of it is, apparently.
Right. Here on my desk, I have two that I actually brought back. Whenever I go anywhere, I bring back a lot of stuff that,
mm-hmm.
Just a lot of stuff. And I have two jars. I have one jar, it is filled with water from the Sea of Galilee, and another jar that's filled with water from the Dead Sea.
Oh, really?
And they look exactly the same.
Do they really? Yeah.
Yes. I brought back rocks and, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds great. Sounds like you had a great trip there.
Yes, I did.
So you keep the jars of water at home on your shelf or something?
Well, it's just, symbolically.
Yeah.
The Sea of Galilee is full of life, fish and whatnot. And the Dead Sea, which I think is very symbolical, has nothing living in it. Of course, it has a lot of minerals worth trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably the reason that the Zionists wanted the area to begin with, among other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very interesting trip, and we were not allowed to say the word Jesus.
You were not allowed to say the word Jesus. Is
yep.
that right?
Yep. No proselyting. No bringing up that name, because after all, we were in Israel. Why would anybody bring up the name Jesus?
Well, I heard that they the Israeli government does have a law on the books saying that there's no proselytizing.
But they're not kidding.
I did not know you could not even mention the name.
You can't even mention the name in any of the Christian facilities. Okay, so maybe you could probably mention the name, but you weren't supposed to promote Jesus or
yeah.
proselytize.
Right.
And that's true even in Christian facilities.
Really? Like in a church? You can't mention
exactly.
Jesus' name in a church?
Well, you could, like, if somebody visited...
Like at the Church of the Nativity, if you mention the name of Jesus out loud at the church?
Okay, if in privately owned facilities,
yeah.
Christian facilities that are open to the public, if people, you know, strangers or just regular people come in, you are not supposed to promote or proselytize Jesus.
Yeah.
Even in privately owned facilities.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, there definitely is a lot of hostility towards Christianity in Israel, and also especially on Israeli TV. That's actually something I did a blog post about one time. It's, you know, the mocking of Christianity on Israeli TV programs. And there, you know, there's some videos on YouTube that you can access that go into that in some detail.
I think there's hostility, Israeli hostility to Christianity all over the world.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, well, that was one of the things points I made in the post, is that Jesus is kind of, you know, even though he lived 2,000 years ago, he remains, even today in the 21st century, as sort of like a major thorn in the side to a lot of modern-day Jews.
Exactly. And you can tell it in some of the historical events that have occurred, say, in Russia, where they had the two revolutions, one in 1905, one in 1917.
Yeah, right.
And the Christians that were slaughtered thereafter.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Holodomor? Is that how you pronounce it, the Holodomor?
Well, that was one event in 1932-33 in the Ukraine, but I'm talking about just the millions of Christians that were killed during those revolutions and thereafter. I mean, we're talking with 60 million people in Russia.
Yeah.
And I think the Ukraine, I think that was 7 to 10 million.
Well, you know, this has been going on for a long time, though. I mean, if you go back and read one of the early church fathers, Justin Martyr, wrote a treatise. I think it's his first apology to the Greeks. He wrote about the Bar Kochba rebellion, the third Jewish revolt, which took place 130 to 135 BC. And he talks about how they treated Christians during that revolt. And they were forced to either renounce Jesus or to undergo all kinds of torture. He doesn't go into a great deal of description on it, but he says they did, you know, implement methods of torture against people if they refused to renounce their faith in Jesus. So that's been going on for, like, you know, thousands of years now.
Right. Right. You use a quote. Jesus said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And the eye of the needle is purportedly the portal in the wall that leads into the city. It's not the thing that you sow with. Is that your understanding?
Okay, well, I've heard that, and I've also heard that it was actually a mistranslation, that the Aramaic word for camel and the Aramaic word for rope are very similar, and that the real intent of the writer was to say it's easier for a rope to go through the eye of needle.
But
I don't know. I've heard both. I usually just stick with what's, you know, what's been translated in the New Testament.
Sure.
Kind of go with
that. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back.
Okay.
After a word from our sponsors.
Okay.
Braxlings. are now available for civilian uses. Order yours in camo, black, and any custom unit colors. Call 877-MY-BUNKER, the Battle Rifle All-Purpose Carrier. Put your rifle safely where it needs to be, at the ready, for a moment's notice. Your rifle is not leaning on a tree or in your trunk. It's with you when you need it. Rifles or shotguns will fit comfortably and safely in backpack mode, or transition simply to a tactical single-point harness in seconds. Watch a demonstration of the BRAC at 877mybunker.com. The BRAC is American-made with a lifetime guarantee. BRAC fits your rifles or shotguns, 22s, M16s, your M60, even the Barrett 50 Cal, and more. Call 877-MY-BUNKER or go online to 877mybunker.com to see the video. Save 20% now by calling 877-MY-BUNKER. That's 877-692-8653 and mention you heard this ad on RBN. Save 20%. Just mention you heard it on RBN.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you read the news? Heart disease still the most likely reason you'll die, but people are still not afraid enough. Over 70 million Americans live every day with some form of heart disease, and we accept it as okay. Well, I don't think it's okay, and I'm here to tell you that Extendivite doesn't think it's okay either. Just a few simple herbs can change the way we think about heart disease. Don't just accept it, do something about it. Live a longer, healthier life. Take Extendovite every day. Extend your life with Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Sometimes you don't eat right and your body doesn't function correctly. On a day-to-day basis, your body needs a lot more than you think. But to do that, it's almost impossible. What can you do? Daniel chapter 1's 1 Kings formula. Tested, tried, and true. And an obvious favorite among the many Daniel chapter 1's customers. Why? Because 1 Kings has dozens of vitamins, nutrients, good carbs, protein, everything you need all in a delicious mix. It comes in two delicious flavors, chocolate or vanilla, and they're instantly bioavailable. That means that as soon as you drink it, within a few minutes, those nutrients are working. For lack of a better term, 1 Kings is pre-digested, so it's instant. Mix in water or juice, and your body is using it immediately. Get 1 Kings. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Use promo code 100A for a discount. That's 100A.
Richard Edmondson, and his website is leftwing-christian.net. And we were talking about scriptural translations and whatnot, and there's so many different, you know, if you go back to the Septuagint, the Greek Septuagint, and read what's there, you find a lot of changes and additions, and so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, that's actually another thing that the early church father, Justin Martyr, wrote about is there were, like, he says that there were changes made between the Septuagint and not necessarily the Septuagint, but between translations, newer translations that were coming along in his day were making changes from what the older translations said, and he provides several examples of this in his work. They just kind of like change the wording here and there to make it, you know, a little less damning, yeah, you might say, and make it, you know, read a little more favorable towards, you know, the Jewish writers and so forth. So that's a very interesting part of his treatise. I actually put up a post recently about which was entitled "If Jesus Was a Rebel, You Know Who Was He Rebelling Against?" And it was kind of a takeoff on the Jackson Browne song "The Rebel Jesus," which is a very lovely song, by the way. But Jackson Browne doesn't really answer the question for us, well, if Jesus was a rebel, you know, who was he rebelling against? And that's kind of what I do in the post, is, you know, I throw out several possibilities for examination.
Okay, so let's discuss those possibilities. I think I already know who he might have been rebelling against, but I think it'd be nice to examine this.
Okay, well, the first one was that, you know, Jesus was a rebel against Rome. And this is something that a lot of Jewish scholars today will try and argue. Jesus, you know, they'll tell you, was nothing more than, just a Jewish nationalist who thought, in his own sort of peculiar way, to bring about an end to the Roman occupation of Palestine, and who, well, sadly enough, wasn't really very successful at it. And this is the way a lot of Jewish writers view Jesus, but there really isn't a lot of evidence to support this view. And in fact, there's evidence that would suggest the opposite. And in the post, I mentioned a passage from Mark 12:17, which, you know, sort of provides us with one of the few statements from Jesus regarding Roman rule over Palestine that can be found in the canonized Gospels. And in that passage, he says, you know, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And, you know, when you look at the statement, it would suggest that as far as Roman rule went, Jesus didn't seem to have any particular strong objections to it. He may not have been, you know, just absolutely crazy about it, but at the same time, you know, that doesn't sound like the kind of statement you'd hear coming out of the mouth of somebody who's, you know, one overriding ambition in life was overthrowing the, you know, administrative government currently in power.
Right. His was more of a spiritual venture, where he was attempting to restore or introduce a higher gospel than the gospel of Moses, the Ten Commandments. It was a more spiritual thing. In other words, don't kill anybody, but don't even think about killing anybody. You know, whereas Moses said, "Don't kill, thou shalt not kill." Jesus was saying, you know, you're not supposed to think about killing, and don't even be angry with people.
Well, exactly. In other words, don't just kill people, but love people. I mean, he wasn't teaching people just not to kill. He was teaching them to love. He was teaching humanity how to love, and that, you know, we're all brothers and sisters. And I think that was his greatest message. But, you know...
And I agree with that totally. I agree with that.
Oh, sure. So I don't think he was really, you know, that wasn't part of his ambition, was to, you know, set up a Jewish state in Palestine. And, you know, the other possibility I threw out is that, you know, well, maybe Jesus was a rebel against the rich. And you mentioned a couple of quotes I on my website. One of them, of course, is the one we talked about before the break. You know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And certainly we have statements like that on record that would suggest that, you know, Jesus, you know, clearly seemed to take a dim view of great wealth and those who devoted themselves to amassing it.
Right, but it wasn't necessarily that people had great wealth, but their love of that great wealth, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
sure. There are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Oregacillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes, whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome back. Our guest is Richard Edmondson. His website is leftwing-christian.net, and we're talking about the love of money. And I don't think that he objected to people having money. And I think, like nowadays, it isn't so much that people have wealth as that they want to have extraordinary wealth in order to gain control over other people. So do you suppose that that is what he opposed?
Much what he opposed. I mean, I think it was, statements, I don't think, were ever intended as blanket, you know, sweeping criticisms of all rich people per se. And, you know, we should also remember that one of his especially devoted followers was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, who's mentioned in all four Gospels and who's described as a man of considerable wealth. And in addition to those descriptions, Gospel of Mark 15:43 calls Joseph an honorable counselor and one who waited for the kingdom of God. And we should also remember, of course, that it was in Joseph's tomb that Jesus' body was laid after the crucifixion. So, you
exactly.
know,
yeah.
you know, given that there was this close friendship, what appears to have been a close friendship at any rate between Joseph and Jesus, and what seems to have been a high degree of esteem for Jesus on Joseph's part, is my guess is that Jesus' statements, even though they were critical of you know, the desire for wealth, they were never intended as, you know, and should not be taken as blanket, all-encompassing condemnations of all rich people. So given that, you know, on the subject of, you know, who was Jesus rebelling against, it would appear that once again, you know, we should maybe look elsewhere. That probably was not the rich, per se, as I say.
Right, so it wasn't Rome, it wasn't the rich, okay.
It wasn't Rome, it wasn't the rich. And the other possibility I threw out in that essay is that Jesus was a rebel against Jewish supremacism. And to kind of understand the hows and whys of this, we would need to look at the Zealots, who were one of the four main Jewish religious sects of the first century. You know, you had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. And of the four groups, the Zealots were, by and large, probably the most nationalistic and probably also the most racist. And the Zealots were founded by a man named Judas the Galilean, who in the year 6 A.D., when Jesus was a child, and, you know, think about this, as a child growing up, and you live through this, Judas led an armed revolt against Rome. And we can learn a little bit about that revolt from the first century Jewish historian, Josephus. And what Josephus tells us is that Judas was joined by a Pharisee priest by the name of Zadok. And that both of them, both Judas and Zadok, preached that Jews have God alone as their master, and that they, Jewish people, should never recognize or obey any other laws on earth other than Jewish law. And the Zealots basically became what, in essence, amounted to a first-century Jewish terrorist group. The Romans referred to them as the Sicarii, or dagger men. And they really, you know, they had no hesitation or qualms whatsoever about killing people. And, you know, and this, I contend in the piece, is what Jesus was really rebelling against.
So supremacism.
Then perhaps, you know, the most interesting thing of all, perhaps, about the Zealots is where they took their name from. The Zealots sort of idealized and modeled themselves after, you know, a figure in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Phinehas, who is described as having been zealous for his God. And Phinehas' story is told in the 25th chapter of the book of Numbers. And what it says there is basically it describes him not only as, you know, as a Jewish nationalist, but he also seems to have been very much a Jewish supremacist as well. He was somebody who was opposed and very, very violently so to interracial marriage and dating. And at one point in the story, and again, this is in Numbers, chapter 25, Phinehas takes a spear and kills an interracial couple, an Israeli man and a Midianite woman. And he basically just takes a spear and runs it through both their bodies. And what what the Old Testament writer, well, there's a lot of that stuff in the Old Testament. A lot of blood and a lot of gore a lot of vengeance. And what the writer of the book of Numbers tells us is that God, you know, keep in mind this is the Old Testament God here, was extremely pleased with this act of double murder that Phinehas carried out. And as a result of it, Phinehas and his descendants were going to enjoy a covenant of lasting priesthood for all of eternity. So, you know, this is who the Zealots took as their role model. So, you know, the question would then become, you know, well, would Jesus have had anything in common with such people? And in attempting to answer that, I quote an angry exchange Jesus has in the Gospel of John with a group of Jews at the temple in Jerusalem. The passage in question is kind of a famous passage. It's one in John chapter 8 in which Jesus refers to these people as children of the devil. You know, here's the quote from the passage. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you may want to carry out, or and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Okay, that's what's written in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. And this is a passage that Jews, you know, have, of course, have long pointed to and blamed for just, you know, a whole host of their problems down through the centuries. But what I pointed out in the post is, of course, that most, if not all, of Jesus' own followers were Jews. So it's quite obvious, it's quite clear that in this passage in John chapter 8, he's not talking about all Jews. Well, who then? When he uses the words children of the devil, which Jews is Jesus referring to? And to understand this, it's helpful, and it's always helpful in cases like this, to look at the quote in its full context, okay? So if we go back 11 verses, this takes place in John 8:44. So if we go back 11 verses, back to John 8:33, we find this same group of Jews repeatedly boasting to Jesus and referring to themselves as children of Abraham. And they're especially proud of this fact, and they make this statement not once, but actually twice. And so it's obvious that for these Jews, being children of Abraham makes them, at least in their own eyes, sort of like divinely chosen.
And yet that same passage says, and we're never in bondage to any man.
Right. Which, you know, is basically saying the same thing. We're divinely chosen. We're not, we have no law. We obey no law other than the law of God, or what we, at least what we perceive to be the law of God. And of course, we also need to keep in mind that the temple in Jerusalem in the first century, you know, where this whole heated exchange in the Gospel of John takes place, had an official policy of exclusion of Gentiles. Gentiles were forbidden from entering under penalty of death.
Well, you know, the whole Old Testament has so much of this chosenness in it, and exclusivity for a particular group of people. And, you know, I personally think that everyone is equal, and that we're all God's children. So,
I do too. And the writer of the book of Acts makes that very important point in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, which is what I refer to as the New Testament's very own doctrine of equality, is that we're all equal in the eyes of God.
Right. So, are you of the opinion too that the group of people who now call themselves Jews are really not ethnically connected to Palestine?
I think, you know, certainly there's very strong questions on that point. If you've read the book The Invention of the Jewish People by Shlomo Sand, he gets into that topic quite extensively, and it would appear, I mean, his position is that the Ashkenazi Jews were descended from the Khazars of southern Russia. And if you really want to look for people who trace their roots back to first century Palestine, you would have to look at the native indigenous Palestinians, not the not the Ashkenazi Jews or the Khazar immigrants who immigrated out of southern Russia and into eastern Europe.
Right. And there's several other people who claim to have knowledge of this and to have scientific evidence of this, a lot of scholarly books on this, including his.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's quite amazing to me that we have this situation now taking place in Palestine where these native indigenous Palestinians have no rights and have to give up their land in order to accommodate immigrants from America and Eastern Europe and Southern Russia and so forth.
Sure.
And when in reality, you know, as Shlomo Sand presents in his book, there's evidence to suggest, and he talks about similarities in place names and stuff in the dialect of Arabic that Palestinians speak, that there are place names that are very similar to the place names of the first century of that area. And, you know, his conclusion is if you want to look for the native Jews, look to the Palestinians.
Yes, I think he's right. I really think he's right.
I think he probably is.
Which
turns everything completely on its head and makes the Christian Zionists look like they're
guilty
they're
of
really
blood
have
on
no,
their hands is
yeah.
what it makes them guilty of.
Oh, I think so. I think you're absolutely right. So that you know, there was, you know, pretty strong evidence that Jesus was basically in rebellion against racism and Jewish supremacy.
And of course, there was also an issue of usury, and that was basically had nothing whatsoever to do with Rome, but had to do with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the ruling elite in the Jewish hierarchy of the day. Correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And of course, the Torah clearly forbids usury, but. You know, the temple was basically a money-making proposition. I mean, you had money changers who were there to, they would only take money, shekels, I think silver shekels that were minted in a certain place. I forget exactly where, but, you know, you had to change whatever money you had on you for the shekels that they would accept there at the temple. And of course, you know, the money changers got a cut of that.
Right.
And all of this money and the selling of live animals and everything, it was basically a business enterprise. And when Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers, that was one of the things he said. You've turned this into a den of thieves and robbers.
Right. And it's really the only place in the New Testament where you see him actually becoming angry and or deliberate. I don't know whether he was angry or he was deliberate in what he was saying. But he definitely was passionate about his feelings about usury.
Well, yeah, and you know, you mentioned my novel that I wrote first of the program. Of course, that's one of the scenes in the novel, is him going into the temple and turning over the tables of the money changers. And goes into great detail about how all this, you know, all of these enterprises were basically, it was income revenue generated and went to the, you know, to the high priest.
Right. As a part of a religious observation, somebody was making money. I find that kind of not a very good situation.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, you know, you know, making money off of worshiping God, I don't think that's something you're supposed to do.
And yet the corporate...
But, you know, of course, you know, a lot of Christian churches do it too.
So. Sure, corporations, that's what they are, corporations.
Yeah,
money-making
exactly.
Corporations. All righty, we do have to take a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors, so stay tuned.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Richard Edmondson. His website is leftwing-christian.net, and we were talking about, actually, I ran downstairs to grab a book. The other book that I was thinking about is called The Jews of Khazaria, and it's written by Kevin Allen Brook, and he has a website, I believe it's called Khazaria, and I do believe that he is also Jewish. I've invited him on the program, yes, he is Jewish and is from the Ukraine. And It's very, very well-researched book. And
What now? The Jews of Khazaria?
Uh-huh, The Jews of Khazaria. And
by Kevin, what's his name?
Kevin Allen Brook.
Kevin Allen
and
Brook.
And he has a, I'll bring up his website here, but I think it's Khazaria.com. Mm-hmm. And he is, he lives in, he's been researching and writing about the history of the Khazars since 1993. So, you know, it's well-researched. It's
well,
a nice
I'll
book.
Have to check it out. Yeah. You know, we were talking before the break about, you know, churches as a money-making operation.
Oh, yes.
and how the temple was a money-making operation, and things like a lot of Christian churches nowadays have sort of followed in that example. But, you know, one thing that's really important to remember is that, you know, of all these, we have all these recorded incidents in the New Testament of Jesus going around and healing the sick and feeding the hungry, restoring sight to the blind, but not one single incident of him ever charging anyone for these services. And that's an example, I think, you know, that Christians should very much keep in mind and, you
exactly.
know, try to follow in the footsteps of Jesus.
And loving people and loving children. He, you know, suffered the children to come unto me for... They are the of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, right.
So certainly,
and of course, that's not an easy path to follow. And of course, nobody ever said following in Jesus' footsteps is easy. But I think it's something that we need to start working towards.
And particularly, you know, we say that we're a Christian country, but look at all the abortions that have been conducted in this country.
America, you know. If America had stuck to the teachings of Jesus, we wouldn't be in the pathetic mess that we're in right now.
Oh, absolutely.
We're in the, you know, just the god-awful downward spiral now with all this corruption in our government. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, just the fact that we've discarded, you know, the basic principles of goodness and love and mercy that were taught by Jesus.
Right. Definitely.
but, you know, I was talking, you know, we were talking about the Gospel of John as being one, providing us with evidence that Jesus' real revolt was against Jewish supremacism. But there's actually other evidence as well. And we can also look at the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 23, we look there and we find Jesus once again in heated discussion with a group of Jews. Only this time, in this case, they're clearly identified as Pharisees
and hypocrites. Yeah, scribes,
Pharisees, hypocrites. Yeah, exactly. So then we ask, you know, well, what do we know about the Pharisees?
Right.
And,
We do need to take our 1 minute top of the hour break. We will be right back and talk about the Pharisees on the other side of the break.